Hello and welcome to Too Fast, Too Forever. There's all kinds of family. We chose this one. This is episode 49, the tune-up relap recap lap 4. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe Too, and this episode is brought to you by Brembo. Brembo is a world leader in the design, development, and production of braking systems and components for cars, motorbikes, industrial vehicles, and machinery for the OE market, aftermarket, and racing. The group has recently branched out into the design and production of safety systems.
Well, thank you, Brembo. My brand new car needed brakes, and it was weird, and I chose not to go back to the Chevrolet dealer. I just had Brembo install the new ones myself, or themselves.
Racing brakes on your new Chevy Cruze.
Perfectly timed.
I actually did just I talked about this, but I did just install new brakes.
Yeah.
Like, not too long ago.
Yeah, we talked about
I sadly didn't get my brakes in time, so I'm waiting for my next change, which will probably be soon based on how fast your brakes just got replaced.
I know, it was terrible. Well, we are back here. We are looking back at lap 4, the walk down memory chain, the necklace watch lap. We have some exciting announcements. As you heard on last week's lap 5 preview episode, we are officially weekly now. So next lap is not only the driving school lap with Kara, which is she is joining us for every one of the Fast and Furious movies, but in those off weeks, Joe, you and I are going to start the Brian O'Connor lap.
Which I'm excited about, because we owe Ben his movie.
Yes, so we have not, we've still not announced what movie Ben has picked. We will be doing that sooner rather than later, but it is a Paul Walker movie. So Joe and I are going to be watching, I think we've picked 3 Paul Walker movies. I think we have Ben's, and then you and I basically each picked one, and then we're letting the patrons pick a fourth.
Yeah, that's a cool way to, that's really cool to include them.
So we've got some other special surprises here. Most things having to do with Paul Walker or Brian O'Connor, not everything, but there's some fun stuff coming up. So yeah, so it's exciting to look forward to lap 5. We're going to skip extracurricular activities today because it's been a while since we recorded because the mailbag doth overflow. So yeah. I want you to get there post-haste.
Fine by me.
Before we do that, we have a Patreon page, patreon.com/toofasttoforever or toofasttoforever.com. Special shout out to Cassie Wilson, Jake Freer, Ben Milliman, Nick Burris, and Alex Elliman. New patron.
Who's Alex Elliman?
Well, we will find out. We will hear from Alex a little bit later. But thank you all for supporting us over there. Now, here's the important thing. I think I mentioned this on the Lap 5 preview lap. Now that we are weekly, there are pit stops to be voted on. Every Patreon member, every patron who supports us over there has voting rights to not only vote in special fan selection movie each lap, but there's also a tier, I think, where you can choose an entire themed lap. So, like, if you're like, I really want you guys to talk about Vin Diesel for a lap or about Tyrese or whatever. You know, you want us to watch Baby Boy 8 times? Please don't. But you can do that over there at toofasttoforever.com. But in addition to all of the, you know, Fast and Furious Minute document, which we're going to do this episode, in addition to the eternal love and support of us, in addition to all of the possibilities for merchandise and swag, you can also now vote.
Should we do a preview of just Chapter 3, the, like, our highlighted one on the Patreon? Should we, like, give them a little taster? What do you think?
What do you mean? Of Lifespan?
Yeah, just like be like, hey, here's Chapter 3 if you want to pre-read it before you hear the live audiobook of it, the non-live audiobook.
Oh, but the text. Well, I feel like reading the text is a different experience. I mean, we can. I don't think that.
But it would be like the read-along. You know what I mean? You could
Okay.
Not the ride-along, the read-along.
Maybe. I like that. That could work.
And also, you know that like this is so heavy and so emotional that like even when you read it again, you don't remember what happened. If you read it twice, it's not like a huge deal.
We can just put up the link to the entire document if they want to read ahead, if they want to stay there.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. But I didn't know if you wanted to break it down like as you release one, you just like put the chapter up, like our edited chapter.
No, I want to give the keys to the kingdom and just hope that people, you know, read along with us. And plus, I mean, they already know what it's called. They could go out and find it already. But now this gets the color coded. You can sort of follow along the read along lap. You're right. Yeah. Okay. Well, let me make a note of that to do.
Obviously, we have it saved in case, you know, she ever finds this and deletes it, hide it from us, so we have the whole text.
The podcasts are out there. We don't necessarily reference her by name, but now that they're on YouTube, too, I feel like there's just more chances for Lunar She-Wolf to find us, to hear about us, and either find the admiration and the love and respect that we want to convey to her.
I fucking love it.
Or just think that we're being mean. I don't know. But the ball's in her court, I guess so, but we have the script saved. Patreon.com/toofasttoforever to read along.
I would love to have her give us a character. or read for Ellie one chapter. That would be amazing.
So you know how you want to be in the Fast and Furious movies, that you want Tyrese to be like listening to the podcast, or Ludacris to be listening to the podcast, or whatever?
Absolutely.
What if instead, would you settle for us being written into YAML?
Oh my god. It would take so long to get there, but I would love to have two random characters be Joey and Joe, right?
I think it would take, my quick math in my head is right, I think it's going to take like 12 years to get through it all.
We have time. Nothing but time.
Nothing but time. We also have iTunes reviews. If you want to leave us a review on iTunes, this is the best. I don't exactly know how iTunes algorithms work, but if you want to give us 5 stars, write a review, it propels us up in the rankings. Shout out to Dr. Wobstaqua, who is Alex Ellenin, I believe, because I think he also writes in. We'll get to that in a little bit. The best Fast and Furious podcast, 5 stars.
Wow. Wow.
I've listened to every episode over the last 6 weeks. Whew. Wow. And my opinions on this have spanned the entire range of human emotion, but I finally accepted it. Joe and Joey have decided to do what I didn't and document the foolish endeavor to make this series last forever. The guests keep the episodes fresh, and special mention to Wes, who always comes in with the corrections I find myself shouting aloud in the car to no one in particular. I like that Wes gets a shout out too. That's, you know.
That's cool. Yeah. He's adopted. You know how it is.
Wes is like our Jesse. He's the vital support that keeps the engines going.
Because he's always in the background. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you might not see him every episode, but he's pretty much always there. Yeah. And he's part of the original family, so.
If you can't get enough of these movies, this is a great way to relive them every 2 weeks for eternity. And since I know y'all will read this, oil is one syllable. It's a diphthong like way. It's not way. Well, that is now the second listener who has said that I am wrong, but I'm sticking firm that I think Nick said his brother-in-law or someone is an English teacher, and that it's one, but I refuse.
Oil. I do like the choice of word diphthong.
Yeah.
Like, that's a very good word, just in general. Mm-hmm. So, like, it follows the up and down of what it means, too, you know?
Sure,
like, diphthong.
For sure.
It goes up, down, up, down.
The email bag, like I said, has been overflowing, so let's get into it. First email from Jake Freer.
What's up, Jake?
No real context to this email, just want to be 200th. Love you guys. If you remember last episode, I said that we have 199 emails. Well, Jake, thank you for being 200.
You win the 200th email.
Yeah.
Good job.
Next email from Nick Burris. No subject. Hey, guys. First to say I missed last week, so this is a big email.
Okay.
There's no death wobble in my Jeep, but when I replaced my steering stabilizer, I drove it out, and it was fun, but couldn't go more than 35 miles per hour.
That was the death wobble joke about because I was in the boomers group. I was just like following car memes for days, so yeah.
Just watched Italian Job and really can't believe I've never seen it. Pretty cool.
Wow, really? That was a really good movie. I liked it.
By the way, Joe, too, I had the Marky Mark as the voice before you said it, so I was going to mention it, but couldn't call you right there and say it. LOL, we'll have to go halfsies. But if you remember, Mr. Mike Manzi had that too, so you guys are going to have to split this three ways. So any credit, any proceeds, you, Nick, and Mike all together.
I'll have a three-way with Nick and Mike.
I would believe if The Rock was going to be president, he would be a Republican. I could be wrong. And I think we were saying that, he was talking with Elizabeth Warren about how she's like, I can't wait for Ballers. And I was saying that I wish that she endorsed him so that they could have,
and we always want The Rock to run,
right,
for sure.
But I think that would be the grand unifier, right? Like, there's nothing, what could bring the country better together more than if a Democrat endorsed a Republican? You know, one future, it's just The Rock.
I think The Rock transcends political parties.
Yeah.
And to me, it wouldn't even matter what party he chose, because it would just be like The Rock versus a politician, and it would be awesome.
Yeah.
So
Nick says, Corona's also good with grenadine in it, the red sugar liquid. Found it out in Army days.
That's Candy Coronas. The rapper The Game references Candy Coronas all the time.
Really?
And yeah, I've never actually, you know what? I mix grenadine in a lot of stuff.
Is grenadine the thing in Shirley Temple?
Yes.
Okay.
Were you here when Rachel and I were drinking Dirty Shirley's that were like, mix like vodka, ginger ale, and grenadine? You know, she slangs booze, so she had like a sale on vodka, and we were like drinking a lot of vodka because it's like stupid cheap.
Right.
And we were drinking Dirty Shirley Temple, so we always have grenadine in the house. I really like it.
Do you add it to the Coronas or no?
I've never tried it with the Coronas. No, I've heard of it. Like I said, The Game references it, like the rapper. I heard it from him. Actually, I think he had like a mixtape called Candy Coronas, or a song on a mixtape called Candy Coronas. And then I was like, what is this? And I looked it up, and it was grenadine and Corona. But I've never tried it.
Hood Morning, no typo, Candy Coronas, a mixtape by The Game.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, cool. Yeah. That makes sense.
Cool.
It was a good mixtape too, actually.
Nick says, Also listen to How This Get Made episode about Hobbs and Shaw. Never laughed so hard at a podcast. I mean, I've been chatting on here that they love those movies the way that we love those movies. That's a great episode to listen to.
And they're funny dudes, man. Jason Mantzoukas.
They start with 5. I think they maybe probably did 6, but I don't know. I know they did 7 and 8 in Hobbs now, for sure. So there's at least 4, if not 5 episodes. And yeah, they love those movies. So yeah.
And I love those guys. Like I said, dude, I love, you know, Jason Mantzoukas, Rafi.
I think it was a guest who mentioned Bonnie Tyler. I'm a big fan of all those classic female singers. Stevie Nicks, Hart, Janis Joplin. Also love the newer female rock singers like Hailstorm, Anna Marth, and In This Moment.
I'm a big Stevie Nicks fan. I love Rumors. It's one of my favorite albums of all time. Rachel and I listen to it all the time.
Oh, speaking of, I mean, whenever I think of Stevie Nicks now, I know that she has, you know, a storied musical career, and she's one of the most influential and important rockers of all time. But I just think about how she's the Grand Witch in American Horror Story, and she is like the Witch Supreme. You know, as we're recording this past week, I've not watched it yet, but the new season of American Horror Story started.
I started it. It's like American Horror Story meets Stranger Things meets Sleepaway Camp so far.
I am loving it. I'm here for it. Also, you know, I know because, I mean, Emma Roberts is in it. Billy Lord's in it. I know that I'm going to love it. I just haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet, but it's on my TiVo waiting.
Also, if you're a fan of Stevie Nicks, you know, that usually means you're like a fan of musical things in general.
Mm-hmm.
The documentary that was... Which one was it? It was with Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine. What was it called?
Oh, The Defiant Ones.
Really awesome. Stevie is involved in that story in a way that I didn't know before. Maybe you did. I would say give it a check. It's a fun docuseries. It's like 5 episodes, hour each, and I was like super sucked in. If you like classic rock, it's something for you. If you like hip-hop, it's something for you. If you happen to like both, it's awesome. Just a little recommendation for anyone out there.
I have firmly in my brain, I don't know if I've ever told this story. I think I probably told you. I don't think I ever told it on a podcast, but when I was watching that was when I was moving out of my apartment into my parents' house for 6 months to save up to buy my house.
Yeah.
And I was waiting for this guy to buy some bookshelves, and he kept pushing it later and later. He was supposed to show up at 6, then it was 8, then it was 10. He finally showed up at 11.
I remember this. Yeah.
And he was very upset that when I opened the door, I was like, oh, cool, you're here. Like, let's get the stuff out. And he, like, was very upset that I did not greet him properly. And then I treated him with disrespect. And I was like, dude, you're 5 hours late. Like, what do you want from me? But anyway, what I was watching while waiting for him is The Defiant One. So I don't remember a lot about the story, but I remember being like, where the fuck is this guy? And then he told me that I was rude, that I didn't, you know, that he was going to buy all of them for, like, a wild discount that I was never going to agree to. But because I was so rude to him, he was not going to buy the things for me, and all that meant was that I sold it to somebody else for what I wanted, what I was asking for. You know what I mean? It's just like, okay, you know, he lived with his mom. Like, he was probably like 45 or 50, like lived with his mom, this short guy. Oh, maybe he was Bagel Boy.
Maybe it was Bagel Boy, dude.
Oh,
you live
man.
In Jersey.
It actually might have been Bagel Boy. Like, I know it wasn't, but also, it could have been Bagel Boy.
It really could have. You're in Jersey. That's where he was.
Oh, boy. Wow. Bagel Boy and now fighting Lenny Dykstra. I don't remember when that is. I think that's soon in Celebrity Boxing 69 or Celebrity Fighting or whatever, so.
Yeah.
No, but that guy, like, imagine, like... Well, thanks, Siri. Bringing up Lenny Dykstra stats, I don't know why, but thank you, Siri. But yeah, imagine Bagel Boy, and he was who was buying bookshelves for me, so...
It's a great story. I wish it was Bagel Boy.
But I do want to say to Nick that I prefer female vocalists. I don't know what it is, whether they're pop or rock or anything. I just like a lady singing.
Same.
I just think it's cool. It's better.
Woman's voice is soothing to me, so...
I think there was why there were so many good movies in 99, because people were trying to make that money before the world ended in Y2K. LOL, maybe. We were talking... remember there was... Gwyn was saying that her boss, her former editor, wrote a book about movies in 1999.
Yes.
You know, right now, over on the TomTom Club, Mike and I are talking about Eyes Wide Shut and Magnolia, two of the, I'll say, greatest films of all time, probably, and both came out in 99, both Tom Cruise in them. And so if you look at the movies that came out in 99, it's
a stacked list.
Ridiculous.
It's so crazy.
I mean, maybe my two favorite movies of all time, The Matrix and Office Space, both came out in 99. Like, it's just
Fight
insane.
Club 2, right?
Fight Club? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a crazy-ass year.
There's like 20 stone-cold classics. It's crazy.
Yeah, like undeniable classic films now.
Like, but I do like Nick's idea that it's because people, they wanted to make the money before the world ended. So yeah, just put, like, let's have all the good ideas happen right now.
It works for me, man.
I always like Vin in other movies because of his car selection from, of course, Fast and Furious, but XXX and the 66 GTO. And even the Knockaround Guys, he drives an 80s van. Awesome movie, by the way.
You've never seen it, have you?
I don't know. I've heard of the Knockaround Guys, I think, but I've never seen it. But 80s van, like, I'm down.
Yeah. I'm down too. Maybe we could do that on the Vin lap.
Yeah. Last thing to mention, there seems to be a lot of girl-on-girl makeout sessions. I was at a Colt Ford, Florida, Georgia Line concert, and a couple rows down, girls just started making out. Love is love, but also, you know, maybe what that meant is that, like, Rob Cohen was shooting a movie and you were in the background of it.
Maybe, yeah. He's doing a Florida, Georgia Line documentary, like one of those concert documentaries.
More importantly, Nick sent through pictures of his tattoo, which started off what looks kind of Samoan.
Okay, yeah.
All right, and then he starts to outline it.
No, he's getting it covered.
In some military theme.
Oh, dude, this dude's doing an awesome cover. I can just see like the way he's lining it up.
There's a different angle of it.
Yeah.
Shit gets crazy. Like, we go, this is insane.
Full
this
sleeve.
Is intense.
I love it. Yeah, it looks good, too.
That is, that's great. That is a real solid, it's more than just the sleeve. Like, it's a sleeve that creeps down onto his, like, where The Rock has his Samoan tattoo on his left breast.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Nick's got that all. I mean, this is a beautiful tattoo.
I would love to get covered. I just don't have the cash for it. Like, if I did, man, I would fucking love it, because I'm a huge fan. It looks great, too, Nick. I like it.
Well, I know in the recent episode, what was it, our Hobbs and Shaw episode, Mike was talking about how he was in a chair for 2 hours, 3 hours,
yeah.
And he said he wanted to cry, but he didn't, you know. He didn't cry, but he wanted to cry. Like, this is hours and hours and hours, and also lots of money, so, whew.
Yeah, lots of time.
Dedication in a lot of different ways, yeah.
Even, like, small tattoos will take, you saw Mike's, so imagine if that's 2 or 3 hours, like, imagine what something like this takes. Like, this is a couple sessions.
Thank you, Nick, for writing in. Nick sent another email later,
cool.
So we'll come back to him. Next two emails are from Jenny. Subject lines, inquiry, and then inquiry answered. So I'm going to read them back to back because they're
okay.
About the same thing. Hi, guys, just listened to episode 44. And wondering why I don't know the significance of 1327. Why is it the date of a party I said I'd like to attend? Also, I watched several seasons of Ink Master, but got tired of it and now don't have access to it, as well as several seasons of LA Ink, Miami Ink, and some others. It's amazing how much talent some of those artists have. That's it for now. Later, Jenny. P.S. Emailing from the garage after getting home from work.
So it was. She was in the right moment. She was in the garage.
We're,
too.
We're
so
reading
felt.
This one from the garage. We are recording live from Giselle's garage.
Ooh, yes. We
don't
are.
Know what Giselle's garage is. We don't know her character name yet. But we are in Braga's lieutenant's garage, recording this lap four tune-up lap recap.
I too get burnt out on Ink Master, but we are caught up, so we usually watch it weekly, and it's a little bit more palatable that way. But I can get burnt out on it, even if the tattoo artists are crazy good.
Are they? Like, I'm imagining, because I've never seen it. I'm imagining that, like, even though it's great, like, is it? Like, it's probably the same format kind of each week. Like,
it's the same. It's like you do. You know, you have like 10 tattoos. They do like a beginning challenge where they have to do something wacky, like, you know, paint with toothbrushes in their teeth or something. You know, I mean,
sure.
Then they'd like pick the tattoo guys. Then they do a set of tattoos. They vote who's the worst. And then sometimes they're like, okay, the shittiest people have to do another tattoo. And then we decide who to vote off.
Hmm.
So it's the same format. So even if they're different tattoos and stuff like that every week, you can definitely get burnt out on it.
Right. Have you watched LA Ink or Miami Ink? I don't know if I knew that those existed.
That was what Kat Von D was on.
That's okay. So I know her. I didn't know where she was from. Okay.
Yeah. She did, I think, Miami Ink. I don't know what she started on one. Then she had like her own. I've watched those. Those are more reality TV than they are tattoo shows.
Gotcha.
That's why I like Ink Master now.
It's more personalities than the actual art.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be like, you know, this is what they're doing. Like, people come into the shop. Like, they show tattoos and stuff, but it would be a lot of, like, characters.
Right.
As
okay.
opposed to, like, a competition.
That makes sense. So. And then Jenny follows it up with inquiry answered. Hi, guys. So I just sent an email about the significance of 1327. Later on, you use 1327 as part of the quiz question. Guess I should have just kept listening. And if you're listening to this and you don't know, 1327 is the house number.
Address. Yeah,
of the Toretto home
house.
That gets blown up by Shaw. So justice for Han, and also justice for 1327.
Yeah, true.
Jenny says, boy, was Kate a fan of the series. She brought some real insight with theories and such. Also, wondering where crepes fall in your pancake waffle preferences. I'm not really a pancake waffle enthusiast. I'm more about eggs, hash browns, and breakfast meats. It always comes back to food. Later, Jenny, P.S. sent from a grocery store parking lot. Food on the mind, food in front of her.
I really like the drop pins that she's sending us from where they are. It makes me happy. Thank you, Jenny.
I don't know if I have an opinion on crepes.
There's a place in Pittsburgh called Pamela's. It's really good, and it's famous for its crepes.
Okay.
And I think they have excellent, excellent crepes. It's famous enough that when Obama was president, he came to Pittsburgh for some reason, and he ate at Pamela's. He enjoyed it so much that he later invited the like owners and chefs from Pamela's to come to the White House. Yeah, I guess maybe Pamela invited them to come to the White House and prepare crepes for him at the White House, like their crepes. Yeah, I do like crepes. I don't order them often, but if I'm home and I go to Pamela's, top tier. I'm a huge fan. So, and that's my, when I think of crepes, I only think of Pamela's. Like, I don't have like a widespread idea. And Pamela's crepes are more like really thin pancakes as opposed to like the really flat crepes, you know what I mean? Like French crepes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's still a pancake batter. It's just like thinner and like they roll strawberries or blueberries or whatever inside them.
You were just talking to our friend Kate last night about some places in Pittsburgh to go eat and places in New Haven to go eat. And she was saying about cannolis and like, you know, I think I guess she'd prefer, like, I feel like a crepe sort of borders that line where it's like chocolate chip pancakes or like whipped cream pancakes, where it's like I'm not comfortable having that. It's not a bad thing, but I just, that's not what I want for breakfast. I would sort of err toward the side of Jenny, like, you know, the breakfast meats and potatoes and eggs and stuff like that. Yeah, like more of a heartier than a sweet breakfast.
I want all of it. So like I usually use my pancakes or crepes as breakfast dessert. So like I'll get eggs, toast, hash browns, things like that, and then I'll order a side of pancakes too, and then I'll eat all the like the breakfast things and then eat the pancakes at the end and be like, this was my breakfast dessert.
Get a whole pattern down. All right,
exactly. Yeah, that's like, if Rachel and I go out to breakfast, I usually order like two breakfasts because I want second breakfast. So like I'll get like a short stack on the side and that'll be like the end of my meal. I'll eat that and be like, okay, cool, I had some sweetness at the end.
Well, there's no better way to transition from food talk into an email from someone who does not care for the enjoyment of food. Mr. Wes Hampton, relap fast, recap furious. What up, fam?
What's up, Wes?
It's nice getting Mike back in to talk about Hobbs and Shaw, and I really love his enthusiasm for the movie. I don't know that I would rank it as high as him. I'll find out in a minute when I do my rankings. But I really like the movie, and I'm glad to hear other fans do too. Not a ton of notes this week, but I'm excited for the relap to find out what the next pit stop is. Here are my new episode observations.
Okay.
Joey, since you told your story about your Hobbs and Shaw movie experience, which is when I saw the high school or college age couple basically having sex in the movie theater, I thought I would share mine. I would say our Hobbs and Shaw experience was probably the second worst movie-going experience we've had. I don't remember if I told you about the worst one. It was also at a draft house, and we saw A Quiet Place. I generally try not to be the person that complains about how things have gone downhill and reminisce about the good old days, but I've been going to Alamo Draft House for 16 years. It says the first movie I saw there was Ang Lee's The Hulk. And while I have seen them get the opportunity to do a lot of amazing things as they've grown, I've also seen what their newfound expansion and popularity has done to the crowds that come to the theater. Unfortunately, it's just a fact of growing their customer base beyond the more dedicated film fans. Here in Austin, going to a draft house isn't much better than going to an AMC anymore. I think that's the problem. Yeah, like, it does suck. I think it's just, you know, you can either be like a weird indie theater or you can just show mainstream movies and kind of cater to that audience too. And I think Wes knows better than me because he still lives there. But when I was down there, sure, it's just like a regular movie-going crowd, but I think there's a nice balance between the normal mainstream stuff or whatever and also like Terror Tuesday and Weird Wednesday. And like, they care more. It's just that the audience they're attracting now is just people want to see movies as opposed to, like, cinephiles.
Yes, and you just, it's the natural progression of anything that's, like, a cool niche thing. Like, you know, we've had this with bars and music festivals and concerts, whatever, like a band. You know, like, you're like, oh, man, I love this band, and then they blow up, and you get, like, more pop fans or fans of the idea.
Yep.
And you're like, god damn it, like, I liked it so much better when it was just my small crew of people that I enjoyed. But you love seeing the company and business that you like do better. It's life, man. Yeah. It sucks.
For our Hobbs and Shaw experience, it was my second time seeing it, Mrs. West's first time. I was out of work early the Friday it came out, so we went to a matinee, which was our first mistake. It was almost exclusively middle-aged, older, white, suburban couples and groups. In my experience, most times, they are worse than anyone else in theaters.
Amen.
When we saw Boyhood, we were surrounded by old people pointing out all the filming locations they recognized. We fucking know, Gerald. We all live in Austin. First, a couple to my right seemed fine until halfway through the movie when the woman put her phone face down on the table, and a few minutes later, she got a text. Her phone was on silent, but it vibrated on the table, and the flashlight strobed out into the theater. She picked it up. I was assumed to turn it off, but like 2 minutes later, it happened again. She was just having a text conversation. I had to lean over her husband and tell her to turn it off, and she acted all embarrassed and apologetic like she's not a goddamn adult who's been to a movie before and didn't watch the very to-the-point warning video immediately before the movie about keeping your phone turned off and put away.
Amen. I'm a huge asshole, and like I keep my phone, and I'm always on my phone. I keep my phone in my pocket during a movie. If I can do it with ADD, being an asshole, and always on my phone, every other adult can do it. Like, yeah. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
And I sit in the back. So it's like, even if I did, like, if you're going to play on your phone, sit way in the back so that anybody else that, like, can see, you know? Fuck.
I like to sit more toward the front of the theater because I like to sit ahead of people because I can't stand seeing people on their phones. So
exactly.
I think if you want to be on your phones, like, I hope you respect the cinema. But if you want to be on your phone, just sit in the back. Like, that's just, because like when I saw Hobbs and Shaw, I sat in the back because I knew I wanted to have my phone out and take some notes. And I knew that it wasn't going to be a crowded screening because it was out for like a month. And I wanted to make sure that I had the ability to like discreetly pull it out and just make some notes or whatever. Why would you pay? I guess it's just people can't be off their phones, like they're addicted, but like, why pay the money to just not pay attention to the thing? Because it's the thing that, like, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Psychology never makes sense to me. Then, to Mrs. West's left, there were two women having brief conversations throughout the entire movie. It wasn't loud enough that I could hear them, but Mrs. West could. And right after I talked to that woman about her phone, one of the women apparently started flicking water at the other, which led to a full-volume argument, and one of them stormed out. Then other one, the one flicking the water, looked at Mrs. West, who was staring daggers at her, and says, full volume, "Well, I'm having a great time. My favorite part of the movie so far is when my girlfriend got pissed at me." "I don't know what happened," West says, "but eventually the other woman came back in, and they sat quietly the rest of the time. I'm generally a pretty even-keeled person, but people being disrespectful in theaters is one of the things I absolutely cannot stand."
How do you get into a fight in a movie? Again, just watch the fucking movie.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't be talking in a movie. How do you get into a fight in the middle of a movie? Like, in the theater. Like, I could see if you were at home and, like, you're arguing. But, like, in a theater?
You know,
I wish I would have seen.
In our little Tub Talk text thread, which is the podcast that's on hiatus right now on the podcast network, but it's sort of a subset of our Fantasy Baseball League, we talk a lot about, you know, going to concerts alone, going to movie theaters alone. And I haven't gone to a concert by myself alone, but that's only because I only go to, like, two a year. Like, my friends have, like, I'm not against the idea. I just, like, you know, I always try to find friends. I can usually find a friend to go. But, like, some of my friends in the chat, like, at least one in particular, is just like, "I've never seen the movie by myself." I'm like, what do you, like, you don't talk during the movie. Like, I understand, like, the desire to talk about it with someone else after, but, like, the internet exists, and, like,
the
text thread exists. It just, I don't understand the reticence to, like, you know, just, like you're saying, just, you sit there quietly, just go there alone.
I don't know if I've ever seen a movie alone, but that's not because, like, I'm not opposed to it. Like, I've definitely gone to concerts by myself, I've definitely eaten by myself. I would rather be home to watch a movie instead of the theater. Like, I'm just like, I'll just, like, wait for that to come out. You know, there's not many movies that I'm like, I have to see in theaters. Now I've grown to do that more. Why not? You know, like, just go do it. It's not a big deal.
When I worked at my college the summer after I graduated, I was only there, like, 3 nights a week. Like, I basically drove up Monday morning, and I drove back to my parents' house on Thursday evening, because we only worked, like, Monday through Thursday. So it's only there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night.
Okay.
And I don't really like to cook anyway, so I wasn't going to bring, like, you know, utensils and plates and pots and pans and everything. So I just went out to eat 3 nights a week. And my friends, like, I was telling them, like, why? Like, what do you do? Like, when you go out to eat, like, I've never gotten out to eat alone.
Dude, it's
I don't know,
awesome.
I just go there and I bring a book. Like, what do you, like, what do you...
Play on your phone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just like, it's not difficult. Like, just because it's, you know, alien to you, it doesn't mean it's weird.
And I love doing it. Usually you get better service, too, because for some reason, like, all kinds of, like, waiters and things think it's, like, depressing. So, like, usually they're like, "Hey, are you okay?" And you're like, "Yeah, I'm fine. I like this. I don't have to talk to anybody. It's great."
I feel like podcast listeners in general are sort of like a lonely people, like, sort of like lonely by choice. Like, they're just like, "Hey, like, I like the things that I like, and I, you know, have found fun." I think we're kind of preaching to the choir. I feel like a lot of people who like podcasts are sort of like, "I like that solitary alone time," right? You know, so.
Yes, they enjoy the comfort of themselves.
Wes says, "Anyway, I could go on, but I'll leave it at that. Instead, here's my first thought when I think about Hobbs and Shaw. Hasn't been out long enough for me to really have a strong mental attachment to one moment in particular, but the part that was the most impactful to me was probably Hobbs reuniting with his family and his mom's speech about giving them the clothes off their back if they need it."
That was a really cool speech. It got me.
That stuff always gets me. So, Wes, right there with you. Mrs. West recently had a realization that most of my favorite properties revolve around non-traditional families. Fast and Furious, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters, Supernatural. I don't think it's that uncommon. Obviously, it strikes a chord with a lot of people, but I never thought about it before or what that says about me.
Yeah, it's really cool. I didn't think about it either.
There is a TV show on AMC called Lodge 49, which I love. And I recommended to past guest Christian Larson and listener of the show, Christian Larson. Hello, Larson. And he loves it. And he said basically the same thing, that like it's kind of that found family sort of story. And so, Wes, if you have time, the first season's on Hulu, Lodge 49. And I just love it. Like, it's weird and wonderfully acted and wonderfully cast. And it's just, it's kind of great. So, Lodge 49, check it out.
Cool.
Interestingly enough, we also realized a lot of her favorite franchises and stories revolve around people learning about their fathers, which seems so obvious now. Back to the Future is her all-time favorite movie. She maintains that the movie is really about George, not Marty. And if you remember that Mrs. West had the whole podcast about finding her biological father, so yeah,
that's really cool. You know, we do a lot of stuff in our unconscious but that's really cool that you I like getting to these points in my own life where I'm like, I really like this, like why do I have an attachment to this? And you're like, oh fuck, this is why, you know?
Yep. On the subject of Deckard and hashtag justice for Han and his development as a character, you know I could write essays about this. I could create my own degree program on Fast and Furious studies and write my thesis on Shaw's character. But I won't do that, at least not in this email. Suffice to say that I think Shaw works best as a sort of chaotic, neutral character. He's walking the line in Hobbs and Shaw, but I worry about him turning full hero. And more than that, I'm worried that in the pursuit of redeeming him in fans' eyes, they're going to retcon his character as to be unrecognizable from the Shaw in the 7th movie.
We seem to have a lot of people that have this thought and complaint and worry. And I'm getting, like, I'm pretty much there too, I think, at this point.
Yeah, I think we all think alike. Let me just see here what he says. I don't really think they can ever get fans to truly forgive him for killing Han, or for blowing up 1327, if you know what I mean, while maintaining continuity to the villain that actually killed Han. At best, I think they can ask fans to accept that he did what he did for his own understandable, if morally questionable, reasons, is a complicated character. Sure, he may sacrifice himself for the family in the future, but that doesn't undo what he did or why he did it.
Agreed.
To me, justice for Han means killing Deckard, not redeeming him, and I don't really want that either. I think the hardest thing to accept about letting it go is that this would be the first time the family has actually taken a loss that they can't make right. They're not invincible, but I think this would ultimately make the series more enjoyable and complex. I like that. Like, it's just adding nuance. Like, you can't make things right. Sometimes, for whatever reason, something happens and you don't, you know.
I think I've said it before, too, is I think that they're going to have to sacrifice him. They're going to have to kill him to match with what Wes just said, but he's going to have to sacrifice himself to save someone else in the family to the point where, like, we don't forgive him for killing Han, but we're like, okay, he's come. That would be a way to, like, bring him back towards hero, but also get rid of him. So I think that that's the only proper way to do it. I'm excited to see what they do with it, though.
The only disappointing thing, I think, is that the people close... Like, I know that Han was in Dom's crew, and obviously Dom loved him, but everyone really close to Han is not in the movies. Like, Giselle is dead, and all of Tokyo Drift has not come back, right? So there's not really, like... You could sacrifice himself for Dom, but it would be more impactful, I think, if there were other characters either still alive or still involved.
Yeah. That makes sense.
We'll see. Wes says, Joey, I thought we talked about the Idris Elba rap when we hung out because I had no idea he did music before I saw him credited on the soundtrack. The story I read was he inspired to write and record this song while filming, and the director liked it so much he put it in the movie. That sounds a lot like marketing to me, but that's the story.
Yeah, it could be a little bit of marketing. I see it.
Yeah, Idris just loved being, you know, the people's Elba so much that he just wanted to rap, man. And you're like, yeah, we'll put it in. I can see that happening, but I can also see that being like, oh yeah, like look how committed to this he is.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, I think we've talked about this on here, when we were considering doing the Idris Elba podcast, or like at least one TV series, if not more than one thing, where he basically plays like a version of himself, like he is a DJ or a rap, you know, some kind of British music star. Sorry for throwing a like into the Twitter game. I don't always see those replies, but usually when I do, I try to figure out whether it's just for the game or Joey doing PR before I engage. I guess you fooled me on that one. I'm going to say there's no reason to be sorry.
Sad about it.
Because
no,
Ben has done it before.
Not.
And really, the goal of the game is to find more people to listen to the show. And if you liking their tweet sends another notification that like, oh, Back to the Island has liked this tweet that you're mentioned in, go for it. There's no downside there.
No, there's no, definitely not. Yeah, it's not harmful for sure. So do it. It's just like, you know, we won't count it because we're looking for other people. But
yeah. Now I'll leave you with my new rankings. Really in my head, I don't even put Hobbs and Shaw with the main franchise movies because it's so completely its own thing. And that Fast and Furious Presents at the beginning, like Mike said, really is to indicate that to the audience, this is not a sequel and not part of the main continuity. But because I like you, because it's the best Fast and Furious podcast around, I should know I've listened to them all, I'll find a spot for my rankings. I don't remember what my list looked like before, so this is coming off the top of my head.
Okay.
So, From the bottom up, number 9, Too Fast, Too Furious. Number 8, Fate of the Furious.
Okay.
Number 7, Fast and Furious, number 4.
Okay.
Number 6, Hobbs and Shaw. Number 5, Furious 7.
Okay.
Number 4, Fast and Furious 6. Number 3, the original, The Fast and the Furious. Number 2, okay. Tokyo Drift. And number 1, Fast 5. So he's got it at number 6, which feels maybe a touch low, but also I think roughly where it's going to wind up.
I think so, too. Yeah, I think so,
too. I think there's the three at the bottom that aren't, again, aren't bad, but I think are kind of collectively
the
ones people like the least. Yeah. Again, it's so new, but it also feels so different. Like he's saying, like we've been saying, it's hard to sort of say it's better than whatever, right?
Yeah.
Well, that'll just about do it for me this week. Excited for the next pit stop, and even more excited to hear the next weirdly uncomfortable chapter of You Are My Lifespan. And boy, Wes, it is next level uncomfortable. Until next time, stay furious, Wes.
Thank you, Wes, for writing in. That was a great email.
Yeah. Now, Joe, our next email, and I don't want to, you know, because I love all of our emailers, but there's a certain level of excitement I get when we get a new email from a new listener, and this is from Alex Ellenin, who not only reviewed us on iTunes, but now a patron over at patreon.com/toofasttoever. He has...
Well, thank you, Alex.
...jumped into things. He's, you know, all out. You know what I mean? He's here. He's
shifted
committed.
Into third.
Yes.
He just started in second.
Mm-hmm.
Like... fully in.
Alex says, finally caught up, and boy, do I have some thoughts for you. Hey, Joe and Joey, I just finally got caught up after reading Too Fast, Too Forever in July, so I want to get my rankings.
Awesome.
From the bottom up, number 8, Too Fast, Too Furious.
Okay.
Number 7, this might hurt you a little bit. Number 7, the original, The Fast and the Furious.
Maybe he doesn't have the nostalgia for it.
Possibly. Number 6, yeah. Fate. Number 5, Tokyo Drift. Number 4, okay. Furious 7. Number 3, Fast and Furious number 4, which feels really... surprisingly high. Not wrong, but high.
Just high, comparatively, yeah.
Number 2, Fast and Furious 6, and number 1, Fast 5. So those are pretty firmly top two. Yep. Says the top two are the only ones set in stone, numbers 1 and 2. Everything else gets muddled after that, but I'm always down to watch any of them at any time. I didn't place Hobbs and Shaw, as I only saw it once on opening weekend. Want to see it a few more times and live with it before I feel confident in a ranking, but I originally had it around number 5 or 6. So that's in the Tokyo Drift Fate area.
Again, yeah, 5 or 6, that's where we're getting it, so.
I will say I've told people the cameos were more than worth the price of admission, $6, thanks Ohio, which literally half the price of seeing a movie here.
Definitely half the price of a movie seeing a movie here.
I mean, I pay for AMC A-List, so I pay $25 a month and I can see 3 a week, but if I just went to the theater and was like, one please, it'd be $11.99, which is, whew, or maybe more, maybe like $12.63, I don't know, it's...
Mine's about $11, and a Friday night movie, like a night, Saturday, Friday night movie, it's like $13, and I think like a matinee is like $8.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Yeah.
My opinion on number 7 is split. I really love the first half of the movie, but the second half's practically forgettable, and I think that comes down to what Kate's idea about how they had to completely rewrite everything after Paul died. And
makes sense.
It wasn't the movie that they necessarily wanted to, you know, put out.
I kind of want to like build that into the headcanon Kate's theory,
sure,
because it makes so much sense. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we're gonna ride with that for a while until somebody proves us wrong.
By the way, you guys do know when they parachute out of the plane and rescue Ramsey, it's not actually an island surrounded by water, but it's an island in the sense that it's practically inaccessible other than by the single road in and out.
I think I knew that.
You might have said that. I think it's basically like land in the middle of a mountain. So I think it is a metaphorical island, right? But
I never thought too deeply about it. When I heard island, I was like, island makes sense.
Yeah.
And then when we said mountain, I was like, yeah, there's no water around it either. So like, I see it.
But that's a nice clarification. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've heard it mentioned a couple times as though it was an island surrounded by water and just wanted to be sure. Yeah, I think it's just a inaccessible, deeply inaccessible area that, like, aside from the one road that they probably have blocked, that's why they, you know, parachute cars into it.
Yeah.
In my iTunes review, I mentioned Wes's emails always give the details and corrections. I find myself yelling at you guys when I'm sitting in traffic, especially, he says, especially when I figure out what the car is during the guessing game. May I suggest a name for the car guessing game? How does Dude What's My Car sound?
I actually really like that. Do you?
Yeah.
I really like Dude What's My Car.
Dude What's My Car.
That's a great... I haven't seen that movie in forever either, man. I like that. Yeah, I could take that. Can you? Yeah, I think we could do that.
Alex says, oil is one syllable, just like whey, which he wrote in the review, which we just read. He says, my In-N-Out versus Whataburger opinion is decidedly biased, as we don't have either in Ohio, and the only Whataburger I've ever had was at midnight on a Tuesday. He says, In-N-Out, and it's not even close. So I'm glad that he, I mean, again, I not really have a dog in this fight, but I'm glad that he at least qualifies that, like, wasn't the best experience, but you know, in another for team in and out.
It was a very fair sure. assessment, yeah. I think, right? You know, he quantifies it like very like, look, this was the perspective you got here. Not too long ago, we were going somewhere, and I had White Castle again, and I was very excited about it.
Is that around you, or is that not around? That's not around you.
No, we were like driving, and we were like in Pennsylvania, like some weird part of Pennsylvania, and I found a White Castle, and I was like, "Holy shit!" Because I remember Wes talking about it. We were trying to get Popeye's chicken sandwiches. We got White Castle instead, and then like the other day, I was sitting there going, "Like, damn, I could really go for White Castle burgers again."
I have White Castle maybe once a year. The craziest thing, we might have even talked about this on here, is that the craziest thing about White Castle to me is that, you know, when we had a bunch left over, we tried to grill them, and they don't reheat well on the grill, but if you microwave them on mid-power for a couple minutes, like, they heat up not as good
really?
As... They turn out surprisingly well.
Well, they sell the frozen ones, too.
Yeah, I mean, this is, like, you know, on par with those. I mean, like, it's just the same thing. Like, it's...
But having them fresh recently, like, straight from the, mm-hmm. like, you know, White Castle, I was like, holy shit, these are really decent. Like, I was pleasantly surprised. And I like that they're small, so you get, like, you know, 3 bites of it, 4 bites of it. And I was like, damn, like, I can understand why people go so ham for these. Like,
mad decent.
Yeah, mad decent.
I've always joked to my friends I was one of the foremost experts in the franchise, and I've been known to rant on it when people call it stupid. So if you guys ever need another guest, it'd be my honor to join.
Well, you found the right crew to join, the right family to link up with.
At some point, for sure, we will have some kind of a fan listener participation lap, so keep listening. Amen. We've had at least the next 3 full laps, if not more than that, planned out, but you know, this is forever, so
we're gonna
run out of people, you know, if we do 7 billion episodes, you know,
eventually, on a long enough timeline.
Thank you, Alex, for writing in. And again, if you when you feel comfortable with where your Hobbs and Shaw rankings officially, or if you're listening and you have not sent in your rankings with Hobbs and Shaw or your rankings at all, family@cageclub.me.
Yeah, thanks, Alex, for the email. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for the Patreon. Thanks for everything. Glad you joined the family.
Yeah.
Keep writing in, man. We'll keep talking about it. So.
Next email from Nick Burris. Hey, guys. Guess I missed 2 weeks. Damn. Talk about maple syrup. I grew up on King's Syrup. It's so good on biscuits.
King's Syrup. I don't know. Is that the brand?
Guess. I mean, there's a King's grocery store by me, which is sort of like a...
We had King's Diners in Pennsylvania, but...
Also love ice cream. There's a place near me that has like Sunny Sky homemade ice cream. They have over 100 flavors, including whiskey.
Whiskey flavor sounds good to me because I'm a big... It would be like...
You can get ice cream
drunk.
Yeah,
I can see it. If I can get ice cream drunk. Oh.
He says, very good, and some that are also hot and spicy. He says that they have one you have to sign a waiver to get it, which, nope, do not want. Pass.
But I think it would be good because the milk would like calm your tongue as it's spicy, so it would be like the milk after you eat wings or something.
It's like hot. You know, they should do hot ones with that ice cream.
Exactly. Yeah, that would be cool.
Went to a drive-in theater with my family, Street Rod, and a couple of friends. There were old cars. It was very cool and nostalgic. And he sent some pictures, so I'll send that to you. Actually, I'll put those in right now.
Oh, yeah. This is gorgeous.
It's kind of got an old-timey German-ish look, maybe? It's kind of like, I don't know what kind of car it is.
It says Ford on the thing.
Where?
It's an old Ford. Right on the front of the grill.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
It's an old Ford. It has flames on it. Actually, I like the color scheme a lot, too. It's flames.
It's like a midnight
blue.
Yeah, there's like beautiful red flames in the front.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. This is a really cool car.
Actually, the front kind of looks sort of like a phoenix a little bit. Like sort of like, you know, like a bird flaring its wings a little bit.
Yeah, no, I see it, dude. Which I think is cool. On the front of it, if you look at it face on, for sure. Yeah, I get it.
Nick says, I noticed in the fast minute, Dom talks to the 2 skanks. One was named Monica. Wonder if that's the same Monica that Ja Rule wants. Which I think it probably is, although it seems, I think there's like 2 or 3 Monicas. Like, if there's, it's strange. I don't know either. Like, it's gotta be, because it's not like Monica is a, why would you, in any movie, when you can name your characters anything, why name more than one Monica? But at the same time.
Why use the same name?
I don't know.
For 2 characters? I don't know.
I don't know. Nick says, watch The Devil's Advocate, becoming more of a Charlize Theron fan. Well, boy, do we have a podcast for you, frequent guest.
Guest for you.
Mike Manzi and I have watched all of her movies, so there's like 52 episodes of that. Were you on any of those? Oh, you were on Fate. You were on the one.
Yep, I was.
So if you want to go listen, we have 52 episodes of that. So all the way back from 1995, Children of the Corn 3, Urban Harvest, all the way up to Long Shot, the one we just did a couple months ago.
And you can siphon out another Fast and the Furious podcast episode with us, mm-hmm. It's just in the context of Charlize.
You can
want another one. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Good call.
Nick says, I can actually see her working for the voice like his right-hand partner.
Yeah, like a tag team, like the duo. Yeah.
Yes. Because I think that's my theory. Either she's the top brass or she's the right-hand man to the top brass. I don't know which is going to be, but I think she's got to be in there somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
Started watching Hyperdrive, which is her Netflix, or her produced series on Netflix. Pretty cool. And let's hold the comments
like
there, because there's a separate email about that in a little bit.
Okay.
So we'll get to that in a second. Two picks today. One of the family's Street Rod, which I just sent to you. And he says, and a car I seen on my way home from New Jersey. So here's this.
He was near you.
He was.
You get a high-fived.
Anyways, keep it up. Enjoy listening every week. Hopefully I get caught up with the show, Nick, which I think he probably is now, because, I mean, I don't...
Yeah.
We had the quickie episode last week. Got this one. We had another quickie episode next week, so, you know, we should have... it should be pretty close.
What is this? It's like...
It's like some kind of supercar.
It looks like a McLaren from the back, but I'm not positive. It has a Pennsylvania plate, though, so that's cool.
So it's both of us. It's in New Jersey, but it's Pennsylvania plate. Well, Nick, thank you for sending the pictures. Once again, your family street rod car is beautiful.
It's beautiful. Gorgeous, dude.
Can
I
you
love
write
it,
in?
Yeah.
Can you let us know what year is that? Looks like... Do you want to get... It looks 40s-ish, maybe?
No, older than that. I would say late 50s... Early 60s.
So newer than that.
Is my guess. That's a guess.
Let us know. But family at cageclub.me. Next email from Justin Kleinman. Subject, Hyperdrive. You guys should check out the new Charlize Theron-produced Hyperdrive on Netflix. It's awesome and ridiculous. She describes it as, quote, American Ninja Warrior meets Fast and Furious. Well, Justin and Nick.
That's a perfect description, yeah.
There might be a little thing in the works for this lap. So, yeah.
Maybe.
If you're out there listening,
just
go check out
perhaps.
Hyperdrive.
I started watching. I'm not finished with it yet. I've watched like about halfway through it.
Are they half an hour or are they an hour? Are they somewhere in between?
I don't remember if they're 20 or 40 minutes, but they're not a full hour or a full half an hour. I think that they might be 40 minutes. It's quick and mindless. It's fun. It's just, you know what I mean? Like it's absolutely what she described as like Ninja Warrior meets Fast and Furious or whatever. So
they're closer to an hour. There are 10 episodes. The last one is 61 minutes. It's a full one, but they're all... in the sort of looks like the 43 to 48 range.
That's what I felt like.
One is a little bit longer than one that's a full hour. So, yeah, all right. Next email from Wells Lamont. Subject? More like, here's my top four wrestlers of all time. Stone Cold, The Rock, Mankind, Undertaker. Top two tag teams, Dudley Bros and the Hardy Bros.
I wonder if he started watching AEW because, like, I watched the AEW special, like, a couple weeks ago. It was fucking wild. Highly recommended. I can't wait for it to come on TV. Like, AEW is getting a TV contract with TNT or something. Yeah, I think it's TNT.
Speaking of sort of competition to the main, my friend heard back, my friend contacted the New York Guardians of the XFL to find out what season tickets cost. There are 5 home games. So here's a question. Let's play a guessing game, okay? It's like the Letterboxd game, sort of, on our other podcasts.
Okay.
5 home games. What do you think the cost is, either per game, just say per game, of the best seats, not a box. We also want to find out about a box, but the best seats in the house. I guess we'd probably, you know, imagine 50 yard line. Yes, at MetLife, 50 yard line, probably, you know, lower level price per game per seat.
I'm gonna go 120.
It's 125, which is,
dude, I was fucking close.
It's exactly the number that I don't know. Like, it's not so high that I'm like fuck that, but it's also not low enough where I'm like, oh, that seems good.
Definitely, yeah.
Which is,
but I'm sure
annoying.
That like. I'm sure that you could go like 20 rows back at the 30 and they'd be like $60 a game.
So what my friend was going to do was he was going to get back to the guy and just say, we're not interested in that, but what we will do is like $375 for the season, so like $75 a seat.
Like, he's just going to haggle the
guys
on season
tickets. They're not going to sell out.
If they're new. Exactly, you're right.
Because I was saying to him, like, I don't really have $400 or $600 to spend on XFL tickets right now, but... You know, for $375 for 5 games would be pretty cool. Or
keep me in the loop. I would be down.
I would go to a game or two at full price. You know what I mean? Like, just to be.
Even if you give 2 away, yeah, it's like, no, it's not terrible. I'm sure that at some point you could probably sell them for like half the cost if you have like nice tickets.
But yeah, the goal is to haggle. We're gonna see how that works.
Okay, good luck.
Yeah, I guess I'm sure you could probably get in the stadium like at ticket price value for like probably $20 or $25. Like, you know,
10, because the Monday night football game that I went to, the Jets.
I'm just saying face value. Because, I mean, that's aftermarket, like, because, you know,
the cheapest
NFL ticket, I think, is probably face value like $75 or $90 or something.
Nah, it's a little bit lower than that.
But it's still people just like, I don't want to go to a cold Monday Night Football game at terrible team. You know what I mean? Like, with the third
exactly.
quarterback. Like, all right, Wells says, 2 things I read. Number 1, P. Walk's brother is supposedly in an upcoming Fast movie. Read an article recently, but not sure if it's true. Well, what we do know for sure is that he was on set, and we don't know if it was like a tour, like if Vin was just showing him around. Or if he is becoming involved. I think we've talked about this before. I think we're both in agreement that we don't want more Brian. That if they want to bring another O'Connor, fine. But I would rather
they
have
bring in his brother.
Yeah,
that's
a family
fine.
Member as opposed to bringing Brian back. It just feels like the farewell was sad, but it was perfect.
And it would feel dirty if you like try to bring Brian back. Like just make his brother come in or something weird. Yeah.
Number two, they're rebooting Face Off with the director of the Fast and the Furious, so I guess Rob Cohen. And it's supposed to be crazy. I don't know too much more than that, though, which I'm not a fan of. I'm not in favor of.
Yeah.
You know, Dan Hayden, who was on our Tokyo Drift episode this last lap, he brought this to my attention. He said he would like to see Keanu and Robert Downey Jr., which I think could work.
Okay.
I could also say, you know, I was talking to Mike Manzi about this when we talked about it on one of the Tom Tom Club episodes, and I said Tom Hanks and Tom Cruise could be interesting. But again, I just don't, I don't want this.
I hate all these reboots. I always give them a shot. Just in case.
It's not necessarily a weird thing to reboot, but it's not like it's like a massive, like it's a cult hit. It's not like a huge block. You know what I mean? Like it just.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
They make a How Much Is a Stack reference in Workaholics, season 4, 3.5 Men, in case y'all got the DVDs. Amazing
Stack
show.
Is,
one of my favorites.
Grand.
They bring it up twice in the episode. It's hilarious.
I wonder what the actual definition of a stack is. Stack means 10 grand to me. Either grand or 10 grand, but I feel like it's 10 grand.
I'm just Googling, what is a stack? Etymology, $1,000.
A stack is 1,000?
Urban Dictionary says one stack equals 1G.
Because it's a stack of, like, a stack of ones or a stack of, no, sorry, like a stack of 20s, maybe? One of the denominations, when you get, like, a whole band of them, I think it would probably be 20s, would be $1,000. And, like, that's, like, a strip club reference, you know? Like, give me, like, one stack of cash.
Which, by the way, speaking of strip clubs, Hustlers rules. Go see Hustlers. I know Hustlers came out a couple weeks ago now as we're recording this, but Hustlers is great. J-Lo was great in it. Constance Wu was great.
Did you read all, the background angriness about it? Like, she kind of stole the story from this chick, and her and A-Rod went to the strip club and, like, didn't tip any of the strippers?
Ooh. Well, no.
To, like, get, like, background on it. So, I still want to see the movie. I'm just now conflicted reading the accompaniments around it.
Well, I mean, it's based on a New York Times, I think, article. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yes.
You know, I guess her story had been made public. I don't know the story. I don't want to say things that don't make
sense. And if you sold the story, you sold the story.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't be bitching about it no matter what. I agree.
Well, says, Sean learns fluent Japanese. It's like a week, and he uses chopsticks pretty well for some country boy.
Oh, I didn't notice it. I'll have to pay attention next lap. I think I use chopsticks really well. One of the girls that I work with is Chinese, and she always compliments me on my excellent chopstick usage, and she's very fascinated by how white I am and how good I am at using chopsticks. Maybe I could be Sean.
There's also a possibility that, you know, because his dad is a military man, and he's probably... I know that he was with his mom for a while, but there's also a possibility that he was an army brat of some kind. He sort of... Maybe he'd been in Japan before, you know what I mean? Like, maybe he was in Germany for a while and was in Japan before, and...
Or even, like, Thailand, Singapore, somewhere else that he used chopsticks if he wasn't Japan.
Yeah,
there's many options.
He does seem very lost on the first day of school, but I think it might just be... It could be the reintroduction to the culture.
Fair.
You know, again, I don't think that they hint at that. They play at that in the movie, but if you're looking for an explanation, some realism in Tokyo Drift, maybe just pretend that he's been there before.
Makes sense.
I never wanted Sean's dad to shoot DK more than this last time I watched Tokyo Drift, which is right now as I'm writing this at 11:03 p.m. on Thursday. Well, Wells, thank you for the specificity. I appreciate that.
He's like dropping pins like Jenny over here. I like it.
I want it so bad for him to squeeze the trigger. What upsets me even more is how DK keeps the gun on Sean the whole time as he gets back into his car to leave. I'm heated about it. Side note,
That's a dick move.
Side note, DK is in an episode of Entourage. Turtle's getting a $20,000 pair of shoes from this Asian artist dude, and DK kind of checks Turtle out before walking to the garage where dude was at.
I didn't know that. That's cool. Because Zeph was in an episode of Entourage that we watched.
Oh, security briefs.
And I never watched, like, a ton of Entourage. I remember some of them, but, like,
I think
I never
watched
it faithfully.
Half of it, maybe? I think there were 8 seasons. And I think the final one was kind of one of those HBO, like The Sopranos, where it's, like, split into 2 parts.
Yeah.
I think I bailed in 4 or 5 somewhere.
Okay.
And I watched the movie. I saw the movie. You know, I was talking to Kyle and Brian, the Hoff Bros, about it. They were on our Fast 5 episode this lap, and I was saying to them that, like, I genuinely think the trailer for the Entourage movie is one of my all-time favorite trailers, because I don't know if you remember it, but the trailer starts out as a trailer for the movie they're making
Aquaman.
In the movie. And no, but it says, from the producers of Medellin and Aquaman. I was just like, oh my god, I know what this is. And like, it's just like, it's a dumb, it's like a generic action movie. I'm just like, this is this is stupid. It's like, from the producers, I'm like, this is like a really cool meta
way to do it.
Yeah. Kyle and Brian were like, yeah, all right. But I was like, no, like, it's like, I think it was awesome. Considering I was not going to see that movie, I saw it. You know, the trailer sold me.
That's very interesting, because now we're like firmly anti-trailer, so.
Yeah, I was more like, just like, what is this generic, you know, just like military guys or like armed guards or whatever. I'm like, what is this? And I was like, oh, okay.
And then you got taken for a loop and you were excited about it, yeah.
Well, it says, I went to Rasputin today. I think you mentioned Rasputin before, maybe? I still don't know what Rasputin is. Found Tokyo Drift and Fast and Furious 6, but 6 is scratched, so I got to take it back. I got 21 DVDs for $30.
Damn.
So it's probably like a used movie store or used media store, but...
The exchange or...
Yeah, I don't know if it's a chain or if it's just local to the Bay Area or what, but like, it's not out here, so...
No, it's definitely
Well, let us know what it is. I'm assuming we know what it is.
Good fucking DVD deal, dude.
Yeah, but I'm curious. I want to know. It says, deals all day at Rasputin. Here's a few of the movies I got. Murder by Numbers. We just put out the episode. And I tweeted that well, as I said. We got something special coming for you. Murder by Numbers, Gosling and Sandy. He licks her face. Tokyo Drift. Fast 6. It says, a few Pearl Harbor DVDs. I love Pearl Harbor movies and docs. Gunther and the Paper Brigade, and Do the Right Thing.
Do the Right Thing. That's a good movie.
A classic line I forgot to add to my list was, I live my life a quarter mile at a time, possibly the most iconic line from the entire series. And I realized, while editing that episode when we were talking about his email and talking about the most famous lines, especially, you know, about how, like, the past writers probably don't watch the movies or don't keep the movies, like, in their memory.
Yeah, they don't care.
And somehow, you, me, and Wells, none of us mentioned the most famous line in the series. And none of us said that. And I was just like, God, like, what? Like, I almost added, like, an editor's note, like, hey, I'm editing this, and, like, this sounds crazy, but we all forgot this, so.
Like, we're so deep in it that, like, those ones, like, actually have gotten to a point where they're so ingrained that, like, I forget them. You know what I mean? Like, because we use that all the time, like, in colloquialism. Like, now it just seems like it's, like, a phrase, not even, like, a quote from the movie.
Yeah, true. Okay, bros, I'll catch y'all on the flip. Peace out, Wells. Well, thank you, Wells, for writing in. I appreciate if nothing else, writing in, but also, more importantly, your absolute cavalier disregard of the subject line. I mean, here, you know, mentioning all your favorite wrestlers. Keep doing you.
I love it, man. This episode's going to come out after it. But I wonder how Wells and I are going to be feeling when this episode comes out, because it comes out Tuesday. Tomorrow is going to be a big day for us.
Oh, Steelers-Niners.
Cool. I'm going to be watching it with Zach, who's my Niners friend fan.
Are you and Zach going to a Niners game this year again or no?
He wanted to go to this one, actually. Oh. But then he was like, no.
I was thinking, if you went to one, you could maybe meet up with Wells out there.
That's what I was thinking, too. Yeah. If I had steady plans to go to one, I would definitely hit Wells up and be like, yeah, we're going to go.
Next email from West Hampton, Kara, preview episode, What Up, Fam?
What up?
I just finished the preview episode with Kara, and I'm pretty excited to see how this lap goes. Introducing someone new to this franchise is always appealing to me. I've been thinking a long time about doing watch parties of all these movies with friends who have never seen them, but I'm afraid not all of them would be interested or go with it in the right spirit, or get into it with the right spirit.
Yeah.
In fact, I've heard what it sounds like when someone watches these movies for the first time and then discusses them with friends and thinks they're being funny or insightful by sounding bored, uninterested, or just critical. That sucks. You don't have to love everything, but I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Talking about how something is bad does not make your product good.
True.
I think we've had a really good track record on here of having people who have never seen these movies at least give us the benefit of the doubt. Like, Chris Podcast hated Tokyo Drift, right? Like, he did not like that at all, but at least he had a conversation about it. You know what I mean? Like,
we talked about it. Yeah. He's good at it. Just explain your point. We talk about this all the time. Like, you're allowed to not like something, but you're not allowed to just blatantly say something sucks.
Yeah.
If you give it a shot and tell me what you didn't enjoy about it, like, we'll talk about it. I like it.
That being said, I think Kara is approaching this with the right attitude, and if she's a fan of dumb action movies, I would argue that these movies were never about cars any more than Point Break was about surfing. They're crime movies or coming-of-age movies or action movies set against the backdrop of racing culture, at least at first. There's more car stuff in the earlier films, but you only have to dig into that as much as you want to. I've listened to or sampled at least 9 different Fast and Furious podcasts. Jeez, 9? 9 different Fast and Furious podcasts. And I think every single one of them started with, we don't care at all about cars, we just like these movies, if that's any indication of how important car knowledge is to liking this franchise. I barely care about cars, and all my current interest in them, which is pretty low, is entirely because I've watched these movies so much.
That's a good point, though. It does attract people that even if you don't like cars, if you give them an honest shot, you know, you'll find something you enjoy.
The only part of this whole lap I'm not convinced of is chronological order versus release order. I've wondered about this for a really long time when it comes to introducing new people to the Fastiverse, but in general, For an introduction to anything, I usually favor release order over chronological order.
But we're doing a little experiment. It's just like, you know, a tiny experiment. We're going to see how it plays out.
Yeah. I think as someone who's already really familiar with the series, chronological order is a fun way to watch them. But if you haven't already seen Tokyo Drift, you don't get the joke with some of the comments from later movies. You don't have the same attachment to some characters in 4 to 6. And you don't have the same sense of a ticking clock in the back of your mind, knowing that the events from Tokyo Drift have to happen at some point in the future. I'll be interested to hear Kara's take on it, but I don't want to say much more in case she hears his email before watching them all. I have expressly forbade her not to listen to these. I don't think she is. But yeah, like, I think when that character, again, keeping it vague, when that thing happens to that character, I kind of want the gut punch of it. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of want...
Yeah, it'll be a very interesting... Like, I mean, again, we have unlimited time. I'm sure that we could, you know, find a way to do this again in the chronological order. I mean, in the release order. But I think it'll just be, like, a very interesting perspective to show her it in chronological order. Because I'm curious about how it plays out for someone who's never seen it before.
Because especially, you know, the Nico and Kevo lap, which are going to do lap 7, I think, tentatively, is they've never seen it either. And so we can either do chronological or release order. You know what I mean? And
yeah, we'll just switch it up. We'll do the opposite. Yeah.
Wes says, that's it for this week. I'm really looking forward to you guys getting back on schedule. I can't wait to find out what all the pit stops are going to be for the Brian O'Connor lap. Until next week, stay furious.
Awesome.
So,
thank you, Wes, for
what I will say...
Do you want to give him one?
I'm gonna give the first one, which is not a movie, but I think it's the thing that I'm personally most excited about this lap is we're going to so next week is You're My Lifespan, chapter 3.
Yep.
Then it's the Fast and Furious, lap 5. Then after that, Joe and I are going to look at Brian O'Connor's Fast and Furious wiki page and just learn from it. Like read things on air. I don't know if we should read it ahead of time. I might just sort of blind read to you. I don't know how that's gonna go. But I want to get real deep into the character and sort of pick out new things, because there's probably backstory stuff that we don't know about or we haven't really thought about.
True.
I want to get into the mind of that, and then from there, going out, whether it's the separate movies or whatever it's going to be, you know, I want to bring all of that back into, you know what I mean? Like, we are deeper into the mind of Brian O'Connor than we ever have before.
Do you want to tell one? Do you want to give everybody one?
So, a timely movie we'll be watching. This was my pick.
Okay.
This Black Friday, releasing from Vinegar Syndrome, which is basically the Criterion Collection of Schlock, they are putting out, which just debuted at Fantastic Fest, the Tammy and the T-Rex R-rated cut. And so our friend Brian Rodriguez covered the regular cut over on his podcast, High School Slumber Party. But this is one of Paul Walker's first movies, or maybe it's his first movie.
It is his first movie,
and he drives in it, and this is, you know, a very gory version of a kid's movie. And so we are going to watch, sometime in December, after it's available to everyone, we're going to watch Tammy and the T-Rex, see where Brian O'Connor himself got a start.
I'm excited. I've never seen it, so I'm curious about it. I want to see where, like, just Paul Walker starts, and the movie sounds fucking wild to me, so it'll be fun.
All right, Joe, we've got two more emails. Thank you, Wes, for sending that in. Two more emails, both from Doubtin' Tom. Back from the dead is the subject line, which is true enough indeed. Hello, Joey and Joe. I've been away from the podcast since about last summer, as I went back to school to finish my degree. I'm now back home in D.C. applying to jobs and living cheaply.
Good luck with that, because D.C. is expensive. That's where Rachel's from.
It occurred to me a couple days ago, what better way to pass the time during job apps than by catching up with the podcast? I'm very behind, currently on episode 7, but I hope to be caught up soon. Well, Alex just did everything in 6 weeks, and so, you know, that's the baseline, I guess. I hope you're well. The podcast seems to have kicked up both in terms of your episode delivery and your fan base. How exciting. I'm really glad La Familia de Podcast is growing. He says, I would still love to appear on the podcast. There's like a 90% chance I won't see you guys read this email in your next episode while I'm playing catch up. But, you know, if you listen to every episode, here you are.
Yeah, you're here now.
He says, in other news, Weird Catholic Twitter now has a dedicated Fast and Furious group chat. It's about 13 dedicated fans, and it's been a very good thing. Doubtin' Tom.
That's awesome. I wonder if they talk about the chain a lot. That'd be pretty cool. If you got to this lap.
If you read the Gwyn Watkins piece about the Catholicism of the franchise.
That's true. Very true. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Addendum to Back from the Dead. This is the next email from Tom. Hey, almost forgot to mention, you should check out this trailer for the Polish version of Fast and Furious 7. Of Furious 7. So here, I have not watched this yet. If you want to put it on, Vixion Sandor. It's a Polish parody.
So this is... Did they actually make the movie, or did they...
It's Vin doing... I think it's a parody video.
Okay.
So what this video is, we could put it on our social, put it on Twitter, is that it's a bunch of Polish kids, recreating the Furious 7 trailer, but just like as kids.
Yeah, this is cool. In the sense that like it seems like a school movie project. Rachel always talks about that she had to do a shot-for-shot film project. That's really cool.
Yeah.
There's like a lot of tractors and stuff. They're obviously using what they have around them, and they have large guns.
Tom says, also, I saw Hobbs and Shaw. My review is that it's rather weak, but the philosophical turn that it takes, taking a page from Fate, does carry it through so that at least it works. So, yeah. So, okay. The big takeaway that we've been saying, you will hear it as you listen along, is that if nothing else, Hobbs and Shaw adds deeper insight and deeper intrigue and meaning to the previously existing films. And true. Even if it's not exactly your cuppa, you know, it makes other things more interesting in retrospect.
And obviously the Italian Job tie-in is awesome. So
yeah. And that's all the emails. So family@cageclub.me if you want to write in. That was the biggest mail that we've probably ever had, but it's been a little while since we recorded. But thank you all for writing in. I hope you're still listening because we've got to go through a Fast and Furious minute and also a brief look back at lap 4.
Yes.
The Fast and the Furious minute 15, a minute I called Is Brian Worthy?
It's a good title. I like
it. But if I win, I take the cash and I take the respect. To some people, that's more important.
Is that your car?
I got it. See a cool air intake. It's got a NAS fogger system and a T4 turbo, Dominic. See an AIC controller. It has direct port nitrous injection.
Yeah, and a standalone fuel management system. Not a bad way to spend $10,000. See that shit? He's got enough NAS in there to pull himself up, period.
Yeah. So what do you say? Am I worthy?
We don't know yet. But you're in. Let's go. Go!
So this, I think, kind of like last minute, Joe. It's sort of a, it's not a bad minute, but it's sort of a, an in-between minute. Cool.
I don't think we're even going to get to the race after this, because we have to, like, we're going to have a couple more minutes of, you know, them lining up and, like,
oh, yeah, and Monica saying to Ja Rule, like, if you win, you get her, and you also get her or whatever, right?
Yep. Exactly.
Well, Wells is talking about one titty and the other titty, which is still the funniest thing in the world.
That's true.
But yeah, there's going to be at least one more full minute. I think you're right.
I think two.
Okay. There's not a lot that happens here. I think there's one particular thing that I want to, that you found out that it was a line of dialogue that I missed that you probably heard, but I think the real thing to talk about here, there's a line here that maybe Brian says that doesn't make sense.
I watched the minutes on my computer, and I had my headphones on, and I was listening to it very loud because I'm trying to capture everything that's going on here. When Dom says, that's your car, and like kind of like points to it, it sounds like Brian says, I got it off the internet, or like, I got it off the internet, or nah, I got it off the internet. Sorry, like any of these, I can't really hear it because it's kind of in the background. It sounds like Brian's voice, and I mentioned this to you, and you listened back. Do you agree that it sounds like Brian said it?
It sounds similar, yeah. Like, if you're like, oh no, it's somebody else, I'd be like, yeah. Like, it sounds enough like him, but my whole thing is, like, why would he say it? Like, you said that, like, it's, like, joking, but it still doesn't quite make sense, right? Like, it's just a weird thing, like...
No, I think it's sarcasm, because we just had the minute where Ja Rule comes up and he's like, is that your car? He's like, I'm standing next to it. Like, he's being, like, kind of a douche, so it plays into that in my head. Dom's like, is that your car? And he's like, yeah, I just bought it off the internet. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know anything about cars. Ha ha ha, look how flippant I am.
Like, I understand that as a thing, but I feel like, and maybe this is just from, like, the way that I would try to play the situation, like, you're trying so desperately to not get, like, sussed out, and maybe you're trying to play it cool, and, like, that's why he's doing it, but it just feels like, why would you say that kind of, like, why would you, like, lend any doubt at all to the fact that, like, you know, you're trying to convince people that you're, like, one of them, right? And just...
It's like a double negative, though. You know, you're like, I don't know anything about cars, but clearly when you look in the hood, I do. So you know that I'm telling the truth now, and I was just trying to be funny. But the other perspective I had on this is that it's somebody in the crowd saying it looks like he got that off the internet.
Right, which I think is probably more likely, but also, I mean, I guess either could be like, I don't know.
But it sounds like it's Brian's voice, so yeah, either one could go, it could go either way. If somebody's saying it looks like he got that off the internet, that's a little bit of foreshadowing that, like, he doesn't know what's in there,
right.
You know?
But it won't be long before he knows all about a Gallo 12 and a Gallo 24.
He became a gearhead. The Buster became a gearhead.
The other big takeaway here, I think, basically aside from Harry, everyone that we know in this world so far, which again is only 15 minutes, but everyone's in the scene. Like, they're all standing around Dom as he's basically like, all right, new kid, let's see what you got.
Definitely, for sure. You have Mia, you have Letty, you have Ja Rule, Hector, Brian. Everybody's in it. Everybody's in the scene, so.
Yeah. And it sort of feels like Dom is not welcoming into the family, but, like, it's kind of a family moment in more ways than one, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's the first framing of the family, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of it for this minute. I mean, I'm excited to get to the actual race, but.
Yeah, I didn't get any, I mean, there is no car stuff. They say it all in the dialogue, but I did see a man in a jersey, in a Raiders jersey. I looked it up, and it was a Jeff George jersey, and it fits the time period. It was George number 3. Jeff George had, like, been apparently picked up by the Raiders and was playing, like, right before this time. It was, like, 97. This movie comes out in, what, 01? So, like, yeah, that would make perfect. And he played for them for, like, 4 years or something. So it was probably, like, you know, his third or fourth year as the starting quarterback for the Raiders.
Wells, did you ever have a Jeff George written? No, he's a Niners fan. Never mind.
Yeah, he doesn't. Fuck no. He definitely didn't.
Yeah.
Yes.
My apologies. Any other thoughts about this minute before we talk about the lap that was?
I'm actually excited to see the time difference between how long it takes to get to the race. You know, like, how many more close ones do we have till the race? Oh, and the...
And where and that the, one car is going.
This, if you're watching this, like, all of them are driving out towards the camera. A couple people kind of veer to the left a little bit. And then one car just makes a hard left.
You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the end of 2, right? Where they have the getaway, like, they're trying to mask Roman and, yep. And Brian?
Yep, yep, when they call all the cars together, yeah. And they leave that, like, hangar. Yep, definitely.
Very, very, very interesting. Well, Joe, let's look back at lap 4. Lap 4 didn't... We weren't a weekly podcast officially, but we had a bunch of bonus episodes. So we kicked things off with the Fast and Furious, with Michael Domenico, who had never seen a Fast and Furious. So actually, in total, let me just go back here. Including this episode, and including the little preview thing that we did last time,
yeah.
We had 17 episodes this past lap. So not quite a full lap, but, you know, or not quite a full, like, weekly thing, but, you know, kind of a lot.
Close. It's a lot, yeah.
So we kick things off with Michael Domenico, the Fast and the Furious. He's got a podcast, Not Her Again. He came on and talked about the first movie, and surprisingly, like, he liked it a lot more than I thought he was going to. Now, he didn't love it, but he liked it in a way that I was just like, oh, cool.
He's very approachable about it, which I really like, too. Like, you know what I mean? That's the best quality we can get in a guest.
For sure.
Like, just give it a shot, especially if you've never seen them before, you know?
Yeah.
So it was awesome. That was a fun one.
Then you and I did a quick little side chat about the Turbocharged Prelude, the 6-minute video, that the only memorable thing at all is that Minka Kelly is in there. Everything other than that, I've already basically forgotten.
And Brian's, like, shaving in one scene or something.
Oh, yeah, we see the inside of his bathroom or whatever, probably his house or whatever. Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Then we brought on the linchpin of the Westworld verse, the Thanos of Westworld, Chris Malika, to talk about Too Fast, Too Furious. And more importantly, I think, I don't remember anything we talked about in regards to the movies, but I just remember talking to him about his acting experiences, and, like, that was, like, a cool,
so much
different
fun
kind of conversation we've normally had.
Yeah, and he was super hype, and just a good dude in general, man. Like, Chris is cool. I like him a lot.
And he still interacts with us from time to time on Twitter,
amen,
which is cool, which is very cool. Then I mentioned this episode earlier, we had Dan the Duke Hayden on to talk about Tokyo Drift, and he loves the movies, he loves Tokyo Drift the way that we do, and that was a lot of fun, pretty cool talk to, you know, head over to Tokyo with Duke.
It's always good to have friends on, you know that. Stick closer to the family, we spread out for the family, but everybody's family.
Then, after that one, you and I did another little standalone bonus episode of Los Bandoleros, which was much cooler and much more important than Turbocharged Prelude, because we got more Han, we got some great Dom and Letty stuff, it's a longer thing, we get the, you know, we get Rico and Tego. It was, I liked that a lot.
I did too. Los Bandoleros, it's more pivotal to the story as opposed to the Turbocharged Prelude. Like, it gives us some in-between stuff. We get to see Dom and Letty, you know, interact again. I think it was really good, and I liked it a lot.
I'm okay never seeing Turbocharged Prelude again. I don't know if I'm going to watch Los Bandoleros again, but I kind of want to. You know, like, I don't want to talk about it every lap, but I would watch it again.
I think we should include it. Maybe let Kara, like, you know, put it in with Kara, too, and see what she thinks about it. Like, watching it through the first time and getting it.
Yeah.
So that would be interesting.
Another episode that I talked about earlier, we had Christian Larson on to talk about The Fast and Furious, and this was an episode that was a lot of fun to record. We also, I think what was cool about it, I think this is something you pointed out when we were sort of looking back the next week or whatever, was he was asking questions that are adjacent to the movie and the franchise, but not the same things we talk about ever. Like, we were talking about, you know, like, racing games in movie theaters and stuff like that, and racing video games on PS2 and stuff, and, like, side kind of conversation to what we normally talk about.
I think so, too. I like Larson. He cracks me up. He's a funny dude. And, I mean, we encompass as much as we can, and so the tangential stuff is always my favorite to talk about. Like, I love talking about the movies, too, but, like, hearing new perspectives and, like, going off on wild tangents is a lot of fun, mm-hmm. so.
Then another episode that I also mentioned this episode was our Fast Five episode with Kyle and Brian. A lot of fun to talk to those guys. Also, of particular note, we finally heard the story that Brian had been teasing us, I think, either maybe on mic, but also on Facebook, about how Kyle, trying to impress those au pairs, you know,
the au pairs, yeah,
went to go see Fast Five. He had the goatee in honor of the Rock, and he hated the movie, but he has since come around.
If I had to do my one memory of that episode, it would be the au pair story.
Because I just love how arguing. He was, you know, Kyle was telling the story, and then Brian was like, that's not the full story. That's not the right story. Tell the whole story.
And they argue about the memories of the same story. Yeah. It was really good.
And then Kyle's just like getting, he's like, fine, then you just tell the story. He's like, no, I want you, this is your story. I want you to tell the story.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Then the next episode, you and I did a Hobbs and Shaw preview, what we wanted, what we didn't want, who's going to have the biggest explosion, the most pedestrian deaths. Actually, looking back, not a lot of pedestrians died. Like, a lot of private security guards died, but I don't think there's a lot of, like, most of the chaos in that movie is kind of... Yeah, but, like...
They don't think anybody really dies in that bus. Yeah. He, like, kind of goes under it or something. Yeah.
Which is sort of... I mean, it's good. It's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. I'm pro non-killing civilians.
Then, while we were waiting for Hobbs and Shaw, I came up to visit you, and you, me, and Rachel sat down for our first ever in-person full episode, and we talked about Fast and Furious 6.
True. Yeah.
I was, you know, I sort of feel a little bit bad for Rachel in that, like, so much of her thoughts and her opinions about the franchise, like, you have basically shared...
I steal them. Yeah. I steal them, which sucks. I know. I feel really bad about it,
but it's still fun chat. I don't wish that, like, we hadn't done that, but, you know, she's contributed so much to this that I feel like it was just, like, a lot of that, like, a lot of her...
It belittles.
Yes.
It belittles it because I'd already stolen all of her stuff. I agree.
But, you know, it contributes. It's all part of the greater whole. You know what I mean? So.
And she'll be a voice on You Are My Lifespan.
Ooh. Then you and I recorded live from the AMC parking lot outside of the Hobbs and Shaw debut. Our initial reaction, spoiler-free, our 6 or 7 minute, go see it, it's exciting, it's awesome, blah, 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 blah. The next week, we did our full spoiler-filled episode about Hobbs and Shaw, where we talked about the best,
saw it again.
The worst, our favorite parts, our least favorite parts, who was the voice, all that stuff.
The world may never know.
Then, a week later, these are the next two episodes we talked about. These also on this episode. Furious 7 with Kate Hudson and The Fate of the Furious with Gwynne Watkins. Two discussions, I think, that were very colored.
Kate blew our minds.
By the fact that we had just seen Hobbs and Shaw, and that influences the way that we watch and, you know, react to those movies.
It'll never be the same again. We'll always have to look through the lens of Hobbs and Shaw now. That's just how it was going to go from the beginning. Kate gave us some great theories on 7 that we had never, like, really thought about them, like, rewriting the script and, like, you know, Mia was supposed to be pregnant versus... She, like, put a lot into perspective. And also, Gwynne sat through these movies, wrote a ton of stuff about them, and told us a ton of cool background tidbits, you know, from her interviewing Owen, right?
Yeah, Luke Evans. Mm-hmm.
If you didn't check that out already, I don't know why you'd listen to this first, but I like getting the background stuff, just like when we talked to Chris Larson, for that matter, you know, the tangential background, other stuff, new facts for us is always fun.
Yeah. Then we had our first official pit stop since lap one, where we did the I Am Paul Walker doc. You and I talked about the Italian Job, now canon, now part of the Fastiverse. How did Handsome Rob become Shaw? How do they become who they become? Is Mark Wahlberg the voice? Who knows?
I don't know.
Then we had our friend Mike Manzi, the Mikester, on to talk about Hobbs and Shaw for the second full time. And he gave his thoughts about it, you know, his what he thinks of first, all that sort of fun stuff. You know, I'm excited to do the whole lap, but I also kind of want to see, especially given that Kara is watching all 9 of these over the span of 3 months or whatever, 3-4 months, like, what she's going to think of a movie that is so wildly different when there's not years of anticipation building up to it.
True. Yep, it's going to be very interesting.
Last week, we did the little shorty quickie episode, the Lap 5 preview, where we interviewed Kara, and we looked ahead to the lap that will be, what she's looking for, what she's worried about, what character she is, and that was the lap. You know, we did 17 episodes, including this one. Next lap, as of right now, from the Fast and the Furious all the way through You Are My Lifespan, I think 20, hold on. Yeah, 20 episodes. So that's going to be like a full lap. So yeah, damn. Big things happening next lap. Any other sort of high-level thoughts or specific memories or things before we do our rankings?
I went through them as we talked, and I'm glad that, I'm glad that we recapped, because this was a really good lap for me. We're following the chain. We learned that the chain wasn't as prevalent as we thought it was. We put higher significance on it mentally from our own perspective.
Yeah, it's like two movies.
It really is. It's three. The first one, and then like 7 and 8. Is it even so much 7?
Well, 5 is with Elena.
Yeah.
The first one, okay. A little bit, and then there's 5. I mean, it goes around a little bit, but it's kind of 5 and 8, really, sort of.
And we thought it was going to be super prevalent, so, like, we place a lot of emphasis on this because 8 was so fresh in our minds. We definitely discovered what was happening. I'm glad we could follow it. I'm glad that we, like, got the chronology down of, like, who's passing it, how does it get from who to who, where it goes, because that was very confusing for me if we weren't, like, paying attention to it. But I think I have a pretty grounded idea of what was going on there now.
Yeah.
I like this lap a lot. I was very happy with it.
So the only thing we have left to do then, now that this lap is complete, is our rankings. Are you going to do a real rankings, or do you have a different kind of ranking that you're going to do?
I think that I'm going to do my rankings every 5 laps. That was my ultimate goal.
So after lap 5.
So yeah. So like after we watch this with Kara, I'm going to do a real rankings.
Okay.
And then 10, 15, 20, so on and so forth. It'll give it some more time to breathe. I think 5 is like a good round number, so you know you get 5 and 10. But for this lap, I had a different idea.
Okay.
And we'd spoken about this before, and I got the idea when I was talking about it, especially when we came just out of the theater of Hobbs and Shaw. You know, I want to do a ranking. I agree with everybody that wrote in and gave their rankings. Hobbs and Shaw kind of feels tangential right now. I don't know where it fits, whatever. I need to let that process and soak a little bit more. I'm going to do my rankings by the most fun Fast and the Furious films.
Okay.
Just like how much fun they are to watch.
Okay.
The ones that bring me the most joy just in the whole comical fun time sense.
Of course, sure.
Okay. Do you want me to go back to first or first to back?
Bottom to top, I think. What's the least fun
bottom
movie?
To top. First Fast and the Furious. I think it's like the most dramatic. It's a little bit more serious. It's grounded. People die. Like main characters die. So I think that's the least fun.
Okay.
Second least fun, Fate.
Okay.
It's not something that I want, like, I don't like the story of it, you know what I mean? It's not,
it's
like,
also,
a lot of fun.
Again, long, right? So it's...
This is mainly, like, an upbeat, you know, like, how upbeat these are.
I think, I'm gonna guess, I think I know what your number one is gonna be.
Oh, I don't know.
But okay, yeah, but go ahead.
Fast and Furious 4.
Okay.
That one's a little dark, it's a little grimy.
Mm-hmm.
F7, just because it's so sad.
Yes.
It's not a lot of fun.
Yes.
It's great, but just, you know, not a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're starting to get into fun, okay? I think it takes, like, those ones are the least fun. 1, 8, 4, 7.
Mm-hmm.
Too Fast, Too Furious, it starts to get fun, right?
Yeah, like, sure. Mm-hmm.
It's a fun movie.
Mm-hmm. So far, my guess is still alive. I mean, I think there's two. There's actually a handful, but okay. But yeah, I still have firmly what I think is going to be your number one is still alive.
Tokyo Drift, next most fun.
Damn, that was going to be my pick for number one.
It's really fun. You know, you're building the fun here. So, yeah, I like Tokyo Drift, and I think it's a lot of fun.
And that's your number 4.
The most serious? Definitely not. Next most fun one, Fast 5.
Okay.
You know, it's Italian Job 2. That's a blast.
So your top 2, in some order, are 6 and Hobbs and Shaw.
Yes. My number 2, World's Longest Runway.
Sure.
Fast 6. Mm-hmm. Right now, in the grand scheme of things, I think Hobbs and Shaw is the most fun Fast and the Furious for me. I don't know if it's just because it just came out or what, but it's like a lot more free. It's a lot more playful. I think that it'll stay high in my ranking of most fun ones.
I think I said this before in the podcast. I might not have, but Nick mentioning before about how he listened to the How Did This Get Made episode, their big takeaway is that this is the Fast and Furious movie that we were promised. Like, basically, strip away all the drama. Like, there's still drama, there's still tension and everything, but like,
it's not really
goofy,
it's
wacky, fun time fun, right? So
exactly.
And I think that's kind of important, right? It's like, this is what these movies are supposed to be without the, why is Dom a bad guy now? I thought he was the leader. Like, if you just
exactly.
come on, right? You know what I mean? So
yeah, that was my ranking for it. That's my reasoning behind it. It's like, it's the one that takes itself least seriously. And I think that that's another good way to rank it. Because, like, you know, 5 and 6 don't take themselves too seriously. Like, they're just fun movies.
If I had to guess, if, you know, if I would have put your power rankings before you mentioned any of them, I would have said number 1 would have been Tokyo Drift, so I was a little bit wrong there. I would have had Hobbs and Shaw at number 2. I would have thought that you would have had 7 lower, just because, you know, when we think about that movie, we talked about on that episode, the most memorable thing is the fact that Paul dies, and so I think that's, you know,
that
you mentioned it's kind of a buzzkill, but there's fun stuff in there.
The jumping the cars between buildings is fun. You know, like, I looked at them in the whole context of the movies, you know, like, jumping the cars between buildings is fun. They, like, have a huge budget now, so there's, like, lots of fun time cars to look at. So these were all of my perspectives that were going on here.
Sure. I had a ranking about a week ago, and then I just, as we were recording and as I was, you know, as you were doing your list, I was just thinking about the ranking. So I have an actual rankings of my actual rankings.
Okay.
And I feel pretty good about this, I think.
Go ahead.
Maybe not.
I'm
we'll
curious to see how it plays out. Go ahead.
Again, it's difficult.
Okay. Yeah, it's hard.
Number 9, Fate. Obviously.
Okay.
Number 8,
okay.
Too Fast. Again, it's tough, but I just, you know, I don't know the nostalgia for it, and I think other ones are more my speed.
Okay.
Number 7, Fast and Furious number 4.
So you had 4 pretty high, and now you're dropping 4 down, right?
No, I don't think I ever really had it high. I always liked it more than you did. I was never worried about it.
Okay.
But I've never really loved that one. I think it was just more, I think it's closer to 5 than people sort of remember. Not that it's great, but
yeah.
It's in style and tone and flashiness closer to 5. Then here, the next little bunch, the next like 4 are difficult. So I have number 6 is the original one. And that's the one I struggled. That's the one that sort of had the most variation.
It's going to climb up too, because like once you, you
know, I know, I had it higher and I actually bumped it down a little bit lower, because then number 5, I have Hobbs and Shaw, just because I think, like you're saying, it's fun. It's the characters. I mean, like, there's a lot about the first one that I love. But there's also a lot about it that, like, feels as almost as removed from the franchise as Hobbs and Shaw is in a way. Like, it's not the same franchise that we're at now. You know what I mean? Like, it is.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Okay.
Number 5, Hobbs and Shaw. Number 4, Furious 7, which dropped a little bit for me. I think that at number 3. I can't help but think after we talked to Kate, and that one actually might fall a little bit. Like, I think it's, for the most part, great. And I think that's a lot of fun, and I really like it. But I just kind of have to imagine what it could have been.
Yeah, she did open our minds to that, huh?
Number 3,
yeah.
Tokyo Drift. Number 2, okay. Fast 5. And number 1, Fast and Furious 6. So I think 1 and 2 are firmly 1 and 2 and maybe firmly 1 and 2 forever in some order.
For
I mean, they could flip-flop there. From Tokyo Drift to Furious 7 to Hobbs and Shaw and the first one, those 4 are, you know, I don't know. It could in any order. I don't know.
It's going to be hard. I'm dreading doing next time, but that was always my intentions, is to give it 5 and really dig into it. But I remember the first, like, serious rankings that we did, I had to, like, dig. Like, it's hard, so I respect that you did it.
So right now, on average, from the top down, we have everyone's favorite movie is Fast 5, and then Fast and Furious 6, and then Furious 7, and then the original, and then Tokyo Drift, and then Too Fast, Too Furious, then Hobbs and Shaw, then Fast and Furious number 4, and then Fate.
So Hobbs and Shaw falls, like, low.
Well, 7. We only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 rankings. And there's 9, 6, 5, 9, 6, 3, 5.
You don't include my goofy ones in the rankings,
no.
Do you?
No, it's a small sample size. But, again, I think
it'll
people like it. It's just, I mean, not everybody likes it. You know, Justin Kleiman didn't like it. Kate didn't like it. But everybody else is like, yeah, it's pretty good. It's in the middle.
And everybody's putting it right around 6. If it falls in 7 in our list, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And that'll sort of just about do it for this episode. I mean, come back next week, of course, for our You Are My Lifespan.
It's so fucking good. I don't want to spoil it, but, like,
yeah, we just recorded it before we recorded this, so it's fresh in our brains.
Fucking incredible.
It is.
It's everything I wanted in You Are My Life.
Wildly dirty. I said words that I never thought I would say recorded. At least one in particular I'm thinking of, just like, boy.
I know exactly what word you're thinking of. Because you just, like, came to it and you were like, wow, I don't think I've ever said that word out loud.
I wonder if I have. I probably have, but, like, in, like, a clinical sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Never in a
I've never
sense.
Said it. Yeah. I've never read it, that's for sure. In a book or anything that's not a comment on Pornhub.
Yeah, so come back next week for You Are My Lifespan Chapter 3, and then our driving school lap, our Brian O'Connor lap, officially kicks off in 2 episodes with the Fast and Furious Lap 5, Episode 1. For all things Too Fast, Too Forever, you can go to katiesclub.me, facebook.com/TooFastTooForever, or at TooFastTooForever on Twitter and Instagram. Email us, family@katiesclub.me. Go over to Patreon at TooFastTooForever.com and support us over there to get voting rights and help us determine what we watch, literally what we're going to watch
Rock
this lap.
The vote.
And if you support at a high enough tier, you can choose an entire lap yourself. The ball is in your court. That's a worrying proposition, but it's out there. So if you want that, go do that thing. Again, most important than anything else, leave us a review if you want. family@cageclub.me if you want to email us. Thanks again to all of our patrons over at TooFastTooForever.com. And we'll see you next week for You Are My Lifespan, Chapter 3.
Oh.
I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe, too.
And we'll see you next week for YAML, Chapter 3, right here on Too Fast, Too Forever.